Hello and welcome to Rigore, the Italian football podcast. I'm Marco Rinaldi and I'm joined just post Fiorentina Roma game by my cousin Giancarlo. And it's fair to say that the emotions are quite raw.
This could be, I've tried to restrain myself, but it could be an expletive-ridden game when you will podcast.
For those,
when you've just watched.
Yeah, for those that maybe don't know what happened, Fiorentina went 1-0 up, Roma pulled it back, went 2-1 up, then got a penalty, missed a penalty, still 2-1 up in the 94th minute. There were only 4 minutes of injury time due to be played, and then Roma got an equaliser in the 95th minute.
An equaliser. And I mean, with these things, hard to know if, I mean, I don't think they really, I mean, they kept going, and you always pay the price if you don't put a game out of sight. In the first half alone, Fiorentina should have been 2 to 3 goals to the good. They also, Roma were smart. Mancini was a red card waiting to happen. Possibly, we could argue, should have happened. I actually think that Vincenzo Italiano even went to De Rossi and said, you know, you need to take him off because he's going to get sent off. Like, like almost a senior manager giving a junior manager a bit of friendly advice. Anyway, he hooked him after half an hour. Paredes, who gave away the penalty, was already on a booking. Probably should have been subbed him immediately after that. Smart move, because he probably should have been sent off. We've got a problem with penalties, Fiorentina, since Nico Gonzalez lost his... Well, people worked out what he was doing, really. That skip penalty just is a... It's great when it works. It's a liability when it doesn't. And he wasn't on the pitch by this stage for reasons that perhaps Vincenzo Italiano will explain, having been hooked at half-time. And Biraghi took an okay penalty, but it was a good save, but it wasn't a great penalty. And then you just... I don't know if it's a thing that it's me or it's Fiorentina that have just instilled it in me, that I had that sort of feeling of impending doom. And it was a big, big blow. Not that, you know, Fiorentina are not great, but there are probably going to be 5 Champions League places. And this was a chance, if they'd won, to narrow the gap to 2 points on that chase, whereas now it's back up to 5 points. And you have to think that, having watched them midweek huff and puff to get past Maccabi Haifa 4-3 in another game that was bad for my heart, then, you know, where they conceded, I think they only conceded 4 shots and they lost goals on 3 of them. 4 shots on target, 3 goals. And another game where they went ahead, went behind, drew level, went behind, eventually won the thing. They're not good for my heart, and they're certainly not good for the language in my living room, because it's just my neighbours would probably be thinking that I'm a terrible husband. They'd be phoning up the police on me, because that was just excruciating at the end. And it was just, I don't know, as I say, it just feels typical Fiorentina to, I mean, hats off to De Rossi, they kept his team going, but they really didn't. I didn't think they looked. There was a spell at 1-1 where
I thought just after they scored, you suddenly thought the momentum had shifted in the game, and that they could go in and win it. But I think Fiorentina deserved to win the game. And it was obviously losing a goal with the last kick of the game is never good. It was a nice finish from Llorente.
It was a lovely finish from a defender as well. You know, I mean, you can't say nodded down, nice, cracking finish. But having had the sort of match point with a penalty on a plate, you can't throw away things like that. It's not good for my health, my mental stability.
On the penalty as well, I think it was a penalty, but it was one of these penalties that the more and more I saw angles of it, it looked more and more ridiculous, in the sense of Belotti obviously went down. But he was tugged, there's no doubt. Yeah, it was a penalty. Yeah. But the way he went down was...
It was comedic, because he's quite a big guy, and he turned his man nice, really. It was almost like it deserved a penalty for that alone, and Paredes reached out for him. But you're right, there was no way that pull of the shirt would have brought you to, I mean, imagine if you were walking, I mean, it was like somebody, if you caught your jacket on a door handle or something, would it then send you tumbling to the ground? I don't think so, but it does in the world of football, though, you know, and as I say, but then if he'd stayed on his feet,
that's right,
he maybe not have got the penalty, right. You know, and I don't think anyone would dispute was a penalty, absolutely. But it was comedic, and it did get in slow motion in particular, it did look more comedic, that it was almost like a delayed reaction that he realised, my shirt's been tugged, I really should fall over here. Whereas he'd done the hard part, he'd beaten his man, and Paredes had kind of stupidly given up the ghost and thought he should tug him back. And but it was not really enough force to bring a grown man to the ground, I don't think. But it didn't matter anyway.
No, it didn't in the end. And we'll move on from this soon so that we don't extend yourself. But I did want to ask one more thing related to the game, which was obviously we both questioned whether the appointment of De Rossi was going to be a good one for Roma. And you have to say that, you know, he was, I feel that they sacked Mourinho at a tactical time where they had an easy run of games, bed De Rossi in. But he, you know, he's had a brilliant result in Europe. He's fought back tonight, maybe fortunately there. But he certainly for me, he's surprised me. You know, he has improved.
Definitely.
Him,
definitely. I think he just improved the attitude. Yeah. I mean, they are, you know, tonight excluded, much more fun to watch. I mean, they weren't bad to watch, but they were bossed for 45 minutes. Fiorentina dominated the game. Then they came back into it. They looked good, you know, and as you say, midweek, they were astonishingly good against, you know, a big win for the Lega Contadini, the Farmers League, against the elite Premier, because they absolutely wiped the floor, and Brighton struggling, but they wiped the floor with them. He's put a smile on their face. I just think that's the biggest difference, is that, to me, is an attitude, that Roma were a horrible team to watch under Mourinho, I thought. They weren't averse to a bit of surrounding the referee tonight, but, you know, they were led. Mancini was like their spiritual leader, really, in that he was full of all the dark arts and you know, moaning and groaning and kicking and doing whatever you had to win. Now, he hasn't changed, I don't think, particularly, but the team has changed. There just seems to be a much more positive mindset about them. And that, allowing for the fact that it has been a gentle introduction in Serie A terms, you know, and they definitely risk losing tonight. They lost quite convincingly to Inter, but they do look credible contenders for a top four finish. You know, we've got a lot of teams. I think we could see the top three is probably quite firmly established, but that fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth place, even, you know, all the way down, is open to competition. But he's done that, and he's also, I think, he's maybe surprised a few people with how kind of gentle a touch he's taken to it. You know, he's been very amiable, which is perhaps not a side you would have expected from his playing days, as a man, as maybe Brian McBride, I think it was, of the USA, might attest. Exactly. You know, he wasn't the most laid back and chummy of players, but he's still snarling on the sidelines, but he also has a smile on his face. He just seems to be absolutely loving it. Yeah. That's the truth of it. And that has transmitted to his players, who seem to be enjoying playing for him. It'll be interesting always with these things, the first kind of adversities, when they have bad results, you know, then, you know, will there be calls for, you know, why did we get rid of Mourinho? But for now, it has been a positive impact. And given that, you know, his previous CV with Spal was not great, it couldn't have worked out much better for the Roma ownership. You know, nobody really can be pining for Mourinho at present. That may change, but for now, the De Rossi effect has been a very positive one.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will now move on from that game. A couple of other things I wanted to mention from Serie A this weekend. One, I suppose, linked to that very briefly, just touch on Milan beat Empoli, not massively, not a big win, but they won. They're firmly established, as you said, in the top three. sitting in second place. And I saw after they won in Europe this week, I think it was SempreMilan.com or something, had the headline. I can't remember what the first part of the headline was, but the second one was Pioli an embarrassment. And they had won the game. And he's got them in second place. And I don't know what Milan... I mean, we've discussed this before, but I don't know what Milan fans expect him to do with the squad that he's got, really.
I'm baffled, as I say, but it appears like an open secret that he'll be going by the end of the season to get somebody more fashionable in place. What they do with the players that they've got will be absolutely fascinating, because, I mean, to get this squad up into second place and, you know, potentially through, okay, it's not the big cup that they're used to in Europe, but it's still a cup in Europe that they're still in and every chance of progressing. I'm not sure, as I say, it's just, it feels a bit like kind of, not delusions of grandeur, because Milan are a huge, huge club, but I'm not sure that, you know, they'll certainly need to pick wisely the next manager to get someone that achieves as much as he has, assuming that, you know, the squad is roughly what it is now, you know, and not, they don't go out and buy some huge name players, then, you know, Milan's just not in a position to do that anyway. There's a new reality that maybe Milan fans are struggling to deal with, but to me, he's done pretty well with what he's got, but it doesn't seem to be enough.
Yeah, I know. I suppose I come at it from the perspective of a Venezia fan, wondering what the hell they want. But
exactly. Well, as a Fiorentina fan as well, you know, if Fiorentina were sitting in second place and still in Europe, what the hell do you want? Yeah. You know, I mean, as I say, granted, they have bigger resources and certainly a much bigger history.
Yes, obviously.
But you know,
but you've got to look at the squad that's there as well.
Yeah, exactly. You look at that team and you think, well, yes, there are some outstanding players: Magnon, Tio Hernandez, Leao. You know, that it's not without its stars. But equally, you know, they are making do with, you know, Pulisic or Calabria or whatever. You know, they are not world beaters, I don't think, in anybody's estimation. So I guess it doesn't help that Inter are just going so well. I suppose if your main rivals are flying high, then maybe whatever you do is going to look pretty poor in comparison, I suppose.
Now, down at the bottom of the table, there was a big clash between Lecce and Verona, and Verona came out of that 1-0 winners, actually leapfrogging Lecce in the table and getting out of the relegation places. But that wasn't the talking point of the match. The talking point of the match came afterwards when my old ex-Venezia striker, Thomas Henry, had a coming together with the Lecce manager.
A contretemps, we would call it. A contretemps, let's use the French that he would understand. And at full time, Roberto D'Aversa, if anyone's seen the footage, I mean, it's from behind his head, so it's a bit difficult to distinguish, but it seems pretty conclusively proven that whatever Henri said, he headbutted him. Henri's now taken to social media to say, yeah, I was over the top, I was provoking, but no matter what I said, I didn't deserve to be headbutted, which I think is fair enough. And, you know, it brought back memories for me. The only man worse than this was Delio Rossi when he was on the bench at Fiorentina and attacked his own player, Adelaide, who, you know, was an infuriating wee devil, but, you know, no excuse really for giving him a slap around the head. And that cost Delio Rossi several months' ban. I suspect D'Aversa, it might be academic what his ban is, because I believe Lecce are looking at a star-studied array of potential replacements: Gotti, Semplici. Luckily for them, Ballardini's already got a job. So, you know, I wouldn't be exactly licking my lips. I did think that actually Lecce were a bit unlucky in that game, because it was a deflected shot, of which there were a few this weekend. Actually, Foloruncio scored a nice hit, but definitely deflection made it into a goal. And then I think Lecce hit the bar at least twice that I can remember. But things are getting, you know, we've said this before, Salernitana looked like a basket case at the bottom of the table. But the rest of these teams, Cagliari got a big win over Salernitana. That was a big boost to them. Sassuolo, the Ballardini effect, with a tedious 1-0 win over Frosinone, where Kyle Georgi missed a penalty at the end for Frosinone. You know, all these teams down the bottom, Verona obviously getting their points there from that game, they're all fighting for their life. So that's going to be, you know, to me, there are two big battles in Serie A. One is for the European, yeah, those last Champions League places, and the other is down at the bottom where they're all fighting for their lives. As I say, Salernitana appear beyond salvation, but the rest of them are in an interesting battle. So Lecce, kind of, if things are imploding a bit there, which, you know, your manager headbutting a player, he was suitably apologetic afterwards, but, you know, and he said, I like to say there's something about his children as well. You know, I'm a father of three children, I think. I don't, you know, I'm a father of two. I don't even really want them to see me headbutting somebody during my day's work either, you know. So I guess I get that, but I'd imagine he'd be facing a ban, and as I say, it may prove to be academic, because Lecce might decide that's not one of the prime skills they need in the manager to keep them afloat. Headbutting former Venezia players, if you've got that on your CV, do not apply for the Lecce job, I would suggest.
Speaking of Venezia, we'll jump down into Serie B. Yesterday there was a big clash at the top of the table between Cremonese and Como.
Watched the highlights of that one. I don't know if you cast an eye over it at all.
I didn't actually, Marco, look at the highlights, no.
I actually felt, and this is not for this podcast, because we are on the side of the minnows, and, you know, and the side that we're a bit against the new money Como, but I did think they were a bit unlucky. There was a VAR decision to send Strafica off, which, I don't know, the challenge, it looked quite bad, but they always look terrible. So that was a big thing. And then Cremonese got a penalty for one of these ludicrous handball penalties. The ball bounced up off the ground. I mean, I don't know what he was supposed to do. It bounced up from, the distance it covered was from his feet to his arm. That was it. And he was supposed to somehow magically get his arm out of the way. So, but it, having said all of that, it does make for exciting times in Serie B. Parma setting the pace, but, you know,
but Parma setting the pace with Cremonese, another very late goal as well.
So. Yeah. You know, they seem to just, but that is maybe the kind of, I hate late goals.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
But it seems to be, although I would say all that, I did like a late goal during the week when Fiorentina popped up Mr. Conference League. Antonin Barak popped up with it. But yeah, no, I felt some sympathy for Como, but then I remembered how much money they had, and my sympathy soon evaporated.
I had no sympathy for Como after their own late goal against us last week.
Of course, yes,
but you know, obviously,
happier times.
It was. I mean, it was difficult to know what, as a Venezia fan, what you wanted in that game. I suppose we've still to play Cremonese. Cremonese have still to play Parma as well. So, you know, them winning probably better for us. But as you say, we had to take care of business ourselves today against Bari, and we started at 100 miles an hour, scored two early goals from two corners, and
I thought my phone had malfunctioned because I always have notifications set for Venezia games, and I thought something had gone wrong with the phone, but it turned out no, he had scored two goals very early.
Yeah, and it honestly looked for half an hour like we would just tear them apart, really. They seemed to be sitting back, they almost conceded the midfield to us, and we were dominant. And I don't know if that kind of made us a bit complacent at the back or whatever, but they did get a goal back towards the end of the first half. And after that, we seemed to do our usual thing of being slightly unsure at the back, and then they built on their own momentum. They didn't really create much in that first half, but then the second half, I was hoping for more of a reaction than we got. And again, Barry maybe had a couple of decent chances, but it was chances where, you know, on another day I could easily have seen them equalising, but fortunately they didn't. And then Yayalo got the ball in the net near the end, but it was ruled out for offside because Tasman was in an offside position in front of the keeper. And then, of course, the ball fell to Poyampalo, and, you know, you can't give him a chance in the penalty box at the moment.
No, he's on the form, well, I would say the form of his life, but it's repeating the form of previous times. You know, he had a bit of a fallow spell, but now just seems to be the man you want the ball to fall to anywhere in the vicinity of the goal, really, and he'll whack it in one way or another. So that was a big win, and it does make that Serie B battle, you know, it's going to be interesting for the second automatic place. I mean, I think we can see the first one. You never say never, because you're right, Parma have had a happy knack of scoring late on, and that can disappear quite quickly. But, you know, that for the rest that are fighting out for that, it's going to be tooth and nail, and that's why people should tune in every week to the podcast to hear the tournament that puts you.
I said last week it was a big game, Como Venezia at the top of the table. This week it was Cremonese Como. We're playing Palermo away on Friday evening. So, like, it's got to that stage of the season where it feels like every game is potentially quite a big, important game. It could lead to an important result. And we play, as I said, we've still to play Cremonese at home, which is good. And we have fluffed our lines against these bigger, or our direct rivals in this second half of the season. But it would.
And will this be Dennis Johnson's return?
It might be, unless he gets sent off again.
Yeah, that's true. Aye, or he could get sent off early in that. That'd be even better, really, if he could come back and get sent off in the first 3 minutes.
Exactly.
Something.
But I mean, I'm looking way ahead. So yeah, Palermo next, which is going to be tough enough to go there. But yeah, important to win today. And yeah, it looks like it's going to be, you know, very tight until the end of the season. So as you say, continue to tune in to Rigore.
Exactly, and hear my torture, Fiorentina, because they too have a notionally big game next week against Atalanta, which will go a long way to once more decide. I mean, they did shoot themselves in the foot, and Atalanta have looked sharp, although, you know, they got their draw away Juve, but I looked at the Juve side and I thought, how on earth did I ever even think that they could possibly contend for the Scudetto? When I looked at the names on the team sheet, you know, it was a miracle that Allegri got that squad up to where it was. But I mean, Atalanta's form's cooled a little bit. I think they were on a very hot streak, but they're still very good, and I've got terrible omens about Fiorentina, especially on the back of, you know, it's a busy time. I mean, Atalanta's got their own European battles to fight as well, against tougher opposition probably than Fiorentina have. But, you know, I've got an awful feeling that could be another painful Sunday. But if you enjoy hearing me suffer that pain, then, you know, please tune in.
Indeed. And as always, please tell your friends, your co-workers, anyone, people in the street that you're passing, about the podcast, so that we can entertain more people with our misery. So at least one of us is normally miserable.
We can almost guarantee that. The rare ones, the collector's items, are the weekends when we're both happy.
Exactly.
Those are, I call them the Halley's Comet, the Halley's Comet of Rigore podcast, because they only pass about once every 78 years. so don't worry, there'll not be many of those between now and the end of the season. I fully expect there'll be one grumpy git on this podcast. Yes,
indeed. But otherwise, we will. I'm going to let you go and kick something.
Yeah, I'm amazed. I've not. I was confident that I would swear repeatedly throughout this, and apologise to listeners that I haven't. But I don't mistake that for thinking that I've taken that defeat well, because I definitely haven't.
No,
there are some inanimate objects in the living room that will now be taking a hail of a
Excellent. Well, on that note, we will leave it, and we will speak to you next week.
It will do.